Good morning, everyone. Pastor Mac is out of town this morning, so I'll be leading the discussion on Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion, which is this week coming up, leading into Holy Week. And I'll make reference to a little bit to Holy Week this morning also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, and to suffer death upon a cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday, the Passion of our Lord, is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the epistle is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading for the Passion of our Lord is normally drawn up for a longer reading. Normally, the whole Passion narrative is read. We won't be quite doing that on Sunday. And it was customary in the reading of the Passion during the early church, during the time right after the Reformation, that the whole congregation would read it together. People would play out different parts. For instance, somebody would be Pilate, Pontius Pilate. Somebody would be the evangelist. They would have people set up to be the crowd and the different characters of the Passion narrative. This is also seen in Bach's great Passions, the St. Matthew Passion and the St. John Passion, which would traditionally in Lutheranism be done during that service and play out the Passion narrative. But for today, I will read a portion of the Passion from St. Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15, verses 21 through 39. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's a saying that a lot of politicians like to use. It's a phrase that goes like this: even one death is too many. I'm sure either you've heard that phrase before. It's a good soundbite in our soundbite world. Truth is, though, that not all deaths are equal. Some get more press than others. But when you think about the guy or the lady lying in a nursing home, or the woman down your street who dies, or a homeless person dies, we don't hear much about it. But hey, even one death is too many, they say. But those aren't usually part of the conversation. And consider this: if evolution is true, then this saying is not. One death is really no big deal at all, just one more in a long chain of deaths. Survival of the fittest, nature doing its job, weeding out the old and the weak, while the young and the strong survive. It's just the way things are, is what they say. So the truth is that we often get confused about death. Is it good or is it bad? Good in one time and one place, but bad in another time and another place? Is it a friend or an ally, an enemy or both? Death, for certain, is in our world, and it doesn't care who you are, what race you are, how old you are, what status you are, or what education level. People die and will continue to die. In the beginning of Lent, we had that picture of our own mortality on Ash Wednesday when those crosses were put on our heads, and we were told by the pastor, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. There's no medicine, no science, no man-made solutions that will stop death. There is only one who can stop death, and that is the one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and that's what today and next week is all about. The Father offering up his Son to be offered up for your death, to battle death, all death. Because for Jesus and for God, it is true, even one death is too many. So Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. He answers the cries of the people that day as they cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus answers that Hosanna, that prayer, as he rides into Jerusalem to set his face upon the cross to suffer the death that we all deserved. It is true, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the centurion recognized that day as he watched Jesus being crucified, a man who had done nothing wrong. There was no sin or guile in him, yet he was crucified for you. The centurion cried out with a confession of faith, surely this man was the Son of God. And that is what he is truly is. He is the Son of God, come to die for you. There is a great hymn in our hymnal that puts it well. O sorrow dread, our God is dead. God died in order that you might have life. You see, the Lutherans called this the sweet swap. Christ took all of our sin, all of our darkness, all of our death upon himself, and in turn gave us all of his righteousness, all of his forgiveness, all of his salvation. That's what we ponder this week. What we deserved, we didn't get. Instead, we were let free. We were let free, and Jesus paid the price for our sins. So this week, as we consider our Lord's death, we wave our palm branches, not in an imitation of those in Jerusalem that day, but in anticipation of Jesus, our King, coming again for us, when we will wave them on that eternal day in heaven, on that day when there will be no more death, only eternal life. This is also why we sing Hosanna, not just today, but every Sunday, as our King comes to us humbly, not on a donkey, but humbly in water, words, bread, and wine, coming to save us from our sins and to give us the forgiveness of sins. What he accomplished for us this week, he has given to us each and every week: forgiveness, life, and salvation in the divine service. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymn that I would have us consider for today, I dropped the bulletin here, excuse me, is the last hymn that we will sing on Sunday, and that is entitled, Jesus I Will Ponder Now, It is hymn 440 out of Lutheran's service book.
Jesus, I will ponder now on your holy passion. With your Spirit me endow for such meditation. Grant that I in love and faith may the image cherish of your suffering, pain, and death, that I may not perish. Make me see your great distress, anguish and affliction, bonds and stripes and wretchedness, and your crucifixion. Make me see how scourge and rod, spear and nails did wound you, how for them you died, O God, who with thorns had crowned you. Yet, O Lord, not thus alone, make me see your passion, but its cause to me make known, and its termination. I also and my sin wrought your deep affliction. This indeed the cause has been of your crucifixion.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you.